if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Further Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. How you guys doing?
No chilling, you?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy to be here on a Monday, guys. You know, a lot of sports happened over the weekend. Some Hall of Famers got inducted into Naismith. We had a fun fight night, as always, but that Dana White always presents it. But I do want to start with the impending NBA play-in tournament, because there was a lot of buzz about it when it did first initially get out. And finally, the rosters are released, guys. You know, the highlight matchup is the Lakers versus the Warriors. But I do want to go to the East side, because I want to start the Eastern Conference. We have your beloved Celtics, Pride. You know, they fell into the play-in. Not the fully as healthy, but I think they'll still be a good team. And they're going to have to compete against Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, and those Washington Wizards, who surprisingly made it to the 8th seed, guys. You know, this team was dog water in the beginning of the year in terms of record, but they made it in. And then we got the Pacers with Sabonis there, and they're going to have to fight against Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets, and LaMelo Ball. And, hey, Scary Terry, your guy that used to play for Boston, is there too, Pride. So a lot of guys that you're familiar with in that lineup. You know, we also, and then the West side, like I ever said, we got LeBron and the Lakers, and then we got Steph Curry and the Warriors in the matchup. They just seems like LeBron and Steph Curry just can't help but meet each other in the playoffs, guys. They just destined to keep bumping heads, and hey, I like it. I'm not mad about it. And then we got Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies against Popovich and those Spurs. They just somehow managed to get in at a 33-39 record, which is crazy. Which just makes it seem, because if you see the 9 seed, 38-34, then you see the 10 seed, guys, 33-39. That's just, you know, it's a big fall off there in a sense of record. So, you know, Sandra, I'll start off with you, man. Who do you see, you know, surviving in this gauntlet of the play-in?
Well, I'm excited for all these games, you know, because you got some really good teams still in this play-in that are hungry. You have the defending champs, the Lakers squaring up against, you know, the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry's coming off of an amazing season, a season where he had to carry the load entirely by himself and led the league in scoring, oldest player to do so. Shouts out to him. I think him and Jordan are, I think they're in the same conversation of oldest players to still lead the league in scoring. So shout outs to him. He had to do a lot of that in order to get the Warriors to this position and facing off against LeBron and AD and the Lakers. Now, let me tell you something. I think that Lakers are going to just straight up smash these Warriors. They've beat them before by like over 20 points. And the last game that they lost was only by 2 because they kind of melted down. But I don't predict that happening, especially in this situation. So I see the Lakers moving on. Memphis Spurs, you just touched on it. The Spurs are in the playoffs again. And if you think for some reason I'm going to against Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history, I'm not going to do it, especially in a one-game situation where he has to just dial up the defense for one game against that team, and he's one of the best at doing so. So I have the Spurs and the Lakers surviving in the West. On the East Coast, bro, when the start of the season, if you looked at Celtics roster and you said they'll be in the play-in, a lot of Celtics fans would laugh at you, probably throw a hot dog at you because you're straight disrespecting. But the fact that Boston – dealt with injuries, dealt with inconsistencies, because throughout the season, the Boston Celtics 1 week would look like world beaters, and then the next they would look like, you know, bottom of the barrel type of team. And now that they're missing Jaylen Brown, that's a big hit. It's a really big hit for the Celtics, because that was the 1-2. That was Jason Tatum's boy. And having two wings like that, that goes far in the playoffs. They have the core. I still think that the Celtics right now could possibly beat the Wizards, but it would have to take a Russell Westbrook meltdown, because Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, they have been coming together lately. They've won 10 out of their last 12 games in order to get to the play-in. So they've been on a roll. So the Celtics cannot go into that game sleeping. I know they're going to be missing Jaylen Brown, but the Celtics cannot go into that game thinking that they're going to win just because it's the Wizards, because the Wizards have been on the roll. And as far as the Pacers and Wizards, Jay, I mean, Pacers and Hornets, I mean, I'm just going to go root for Charlotte because, you know, they got my boy LaMelo, but I could care less about the Pacers and Hornets. I don't really care about that game. It's probably like the least most important game. That's probably like the least most
important game. You don't like Sabonis, man? I like Sabonis.
Shots of pride for winning our NBA fantasy basketball league. And he had Sabonis on his league the whole year. True. And he was eating. You was eating with Sabonis, bro. Shout outs to you. Sabonis was eating. Tremendous player this season. He could possibly win most improved player of the year. To me, he would have my vote for it. But, yeah, the Pacers, I don't really care about that game. But the Celtics and Wizards, I have the Celtics winning narrowly. But I have the Celtics winning. And the Pacers and Hornets, I got the Hornets. So, yeah, Lakers, Spurs, Celtics, and Hornets. That's who I got moving on.
So, in terms of the whole play, I just want to say this one more time, and I probably will say it to my dying breath. To quote the greatest player, whoever greatest gods be on earth, whoever thought about the play should get fired. Point blank, period. I think it's stupid that the Spurs, who are not even 500, if can somehow theoretically be an 8 seed over Golden State, who has a better record. So whoever came up with this idea, you need to get fired, hired, and refired again. So in terms of who's going to win the play-in, obviously LeBron is going to stomp the living daylight out of Golden State. That's not even – and Golden State's not healthy. If they had Draymond, like prime Draymond, and a healthy Clay, this definitely would be very, very close. It would be a nail-biter. But with just Steph, I mean, yeah, congratulations. Steph will go off for 50. Great. And they'll lose by 25. So obviously there's no debate. Lakers are going to win. When it comes to the Spurs and Grizzlies, I don't know. I mean, I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, who cares? Because they're going to win and then get slapped by Golden State. So Golden State has the second best team of all the four in the Western Conference playing. So basically, whoever wins here is just like, oh, let's win here so we can go get smacked by Golden State.
Get over there.
So it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, you're gonna get a pissed off Steph Curry who just got beat. So
yeah, he's gonna be mad. Like, by the way, have you ever seen Steph Curry trying to yell at his teammates on the sideline? It is by far the most comical thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Because he's really trying to be all big and bad, and it's kind of funny because then Weissman stands up and he's like towering over him, and then Steph is like trying to yell at him, and he's like, rah, rah, rah. It's the funniest thing in the world.
My favorite part is when he got the little vein coming out the head.
But yeah, that little vein. Oh, man, that had me rolling. But but yeah, I mean, the Lakers are going to end up winning, and then Golden State is going to end up having the 8th seed. So, I mean, whoop-de-doo, I guess. I don't know. And then over in the Eastern Conference, I mean, we're gonna stomp the mess out of the Wizards. It's not even gonna be close. Like, it's not even close.
Like,
there's no debate for you to make it close. That just shows me you don't know. Basketball. That's all. That 15 plus.
I take Skittles on that. You're throwing.
I'm going balls deep up in here, bro. 15 plus, bro. We smacking them, bro.
You got the Skittles? I'll take a bag.
I'll take a bag. Skittles right now. Wait. Are we doing straight up or are we doing over under? What are
15.
We doing?
You said 15.
15. So 15 or more? I'll take it. Yeah. I'll steal some Skittles from you. I don't mind. I'll steal some Skittles from you.
But
we're going to win. And then the Wizards are going to end up facing whoever wins Pacers and Hornets, which, again, same thing in the Western Conference. You're just playing to lose. So, and then honestly, it doesn't even matter about the play-in because we're probably going to get swept by Brooklyn because not only are we injured, but dudes don't even want to play for Brad Stevens no more. So I don't even know if Brad Stevens even going to be there much longer. And then the Wizards are going to get swept in three by the 76ers. So it's kind of like to the point, like if you're in the play-in, do I really want to play? You know, but I got the Celtics keeping on to the 7th seed, and then I got the Wizards getting the 8th seed. And honestly, it's just – I mean, I get why they want to do the play-in. I just think it's dumb, bro. Because it's not now to the point where I get it. It's the money. I understand. But now the playoffs kind of just seem even weaker. Like, they really, it really does. Because now it's like, oh, let's add more people in. And it's like, bro, look, we the top eight teams, okay, that's like what? Half of
you got more than half the league, bro.
That already yeah. feels like too much. You know what I mean? Yeah, so well, now yeah. they're like, oh, yeah, let's do a play-in. I'm like, look. The whole playing thing, I think, is stupid. An easy fix to it is simple. Teams should not be playing two games against each other. They should either play one or three. So that way, if they have the same record, whoever has the better record in the regular season owns a tiebreaker. I don't know what's so hard about that. I don't know. And I love Pop to death, and I really do. Shout out to him. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But with a negative record like that, he got to retire. You feel me? He coaching like Tim Duncan now. I don't know what's good with him. Scott Brooks talking about, oh, I love the playing. Yeah, yeah. You love it because you're a dog water coach. That's it. You're a dog water coach with even the worst team. Like, what are we doing here, bro? But that's what I have, bro. Honestly, I'm not watching any of the playing games. I'm really not. Like, there's no
not even the Laker game.
None. I mean, maybe the Celtics has we got Skittles on it. But even then, I could just look at the score at the end, bro. Like, the play – this isn't really – like, the NBA, they were like, oh, yeah, the play-in. They were trying to hype it up. And at first, I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's a possibility. You know, maybe it could be nice. They got teams under 500 fight for the AC? Come on, son.
Come on, son.
Yeah,
we've seen that before, though, Pride.
But it not in a play-in situation.
Yeah, the play-in.
There have been times when the East was dog water and it was top heavy. So like the top three teams had like phenomenal records, and then you had the eighth seed coming in with like a dog water record. I get that, but in a play-in scenario, to the point where if a garbage team happens to, because think about it, if they happen to just for some unknown reason catch fire. The San Antonio Spurs can be the eighth seed. That would mean Golden State with a better record is at home. I'm not a Golden State fan at all. I'm not at all. But if that's how I'm not making the playoffs, if I'm getting swept in the first round, so be it.
Let me tell you guys what I think, you know, about this whole player scenario. It kind of feels like to in the NFL context, it feels like 2 week 17s to me. It's like you're supposed to already know by week 17 how it's established. Like, we don't need another week. I mean, it's granted, we're going to feel week 18 this year because we got an extra week of football in this new season. Mm-hmm. But most people will understand my concept. Usually by this time of the year, it's wrapped up. We got clarity to what the playoffs are going to look like. We don't have uncertainty as we do with the NBA this particular year. But, you know, I think most of you guys' picks are correct. You know, when it comes to the Eastern Conference Final, you know, Pride, you're going to hate me, but I think the Wizards are going to get hot, and I think they're going to beat your Boston Celtics and force them to play in that play-in game. You know, I think that the Russ collapse is definitely a big possibility, Sandra, like you mentioned. Like, Russ is the only person that could beat himself sometimes. But I just think that Jaylen Brown loss might be too big for them at this particular moment of the season. I could be wrong. I think that Brad Stevens is a good enough coach where I think that he could beat Scotty Brooks in a duel in this play-in game. So I think that's definitely one of the hottest games to watch in this play-in, obviously, on the Eastern Conference side, because the Pacers and the Hornets side, I want to watch LaMelo ball out. That's only really the reason I'm going to watch that one, too. I like Sabonis, too, but it really is the driest of the play-in games. But I do think that the Hornets will win that game. I just think they're more skilled. Now, when on the Western Conference side, I think that 7-8 seed between the Lakers and the Warriors, man, that's going to be so fun to watch because, like I said, it just seems like LeBron and Steph Curry just can't seem to stay out of each other's way. And
we've seen this forever and ever and ever
and ever. And, you know, some people like tend to look like, oh, it's like a young guy versus an old guy. Not really, because Steph Curry's 33 while LeBron's 36. So Steph Curry's not that far behind in LeBron in terms of year. But people try to treat Steph Curry like he's brand new when he's really not, you know. So, but I do think that the Lakers are going to win that initial game against the Warriors, forcing the Warriors to play either Memphis or San Antonio. And, you know, we're getting Sander back. He had taken a look at the booties. Thanks for coming back, Sander. You know, I do think that that's going to be a very entertaining game between Memphis and San Antonio. I do think that maybe experience will win that game against the Spurs. But, Sander, you're right. You're like, I don't see Pop losing this game. But the thing is, I'm looking at the Spurs team, and I don't love not one player on this team. I don't. And I love Ja Morant. I like the talent that these Memphis Grizzlies have. I think that they're tough. You know, they were a playoff team last year, and they ended up getting bounced in the play-in tournament. So they have that pain of, damn, of having it and losing it in this tournament. And I think that they learned from that last year, Sander, and I think that they're going to win against the Spurs and earn a spot in this playoff tournament this year.
Well, I don't like the disrespect from Pride. You know, Memphis Grizzlies, they're not really that dog water. They're just a young team. They're learning.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You call dudes that are under 25 years old dog water when they're learning.
It's easy. Like, it's easy.
They're learning, bro. Hold on.
The same thing that we say about the Pelicans. They're playing like dog water. Hey, listen. Listen.
So their dog water,
if it looks like dog water, the team as a whole is dog water. The team as a whole is dog water. If they were so great, why aren't they in the play-in? Answer it, please.
At least they're not under 500. They're not under 500 in the play-in.
Listen, in order to be good, right, if you're a good team, you're going to get wins, right? That's just usually how it goes. If you don't get wins, what does that mean? You're not good. Now, that doesn't mean you can't become good. Yes, they're a young team. But that doesn't mean nothing.
If we're going to use the record for the Memphis Grizzlies to label them dog water or not, if 500 makes you an okay team and you're four games over it, does that make you a little better than okay? You're clearly not dog water. You're over 500 in the Western Conference on top of that.
No. Okay. I do not like this whole, because you're in the Western Conference. Dog water is good at cooking. Bro, listen, man. That's fine. Listen, man. This is all I'm saying. I'm tired of people saying, they're young, so we got to give them a pass. No. If you're playing bad, you're bad. That's all it comes down
to. Who's got to come into the league like MJ?
Again, if you want to go on this whole, they're young thing, that's fine. Because you like to hand out participation awards. So what we'll do, we'll split the league in half. The Western Conference
will be for dudes
27 and older, and the Eastern Conference could be 25 and under.
Players never get better.
Make it that easy.
Definitely got better from last year to this year.
John Moran is definitely playing better.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Is that Memphis team good? Yes or no?
38 and 34. They have a winning record.
If they were so good,
they had 38 wins in the West.
You want it? Okay. Congratulations. They have 38 in the West, and they're still in the play-in. Are they in the playoffs?
They're not in the playoffs.
Playing is not the playoffs.
38 wins and only six wins away from the Lakers.
Are they in the playoffs?
So let's say if Memphis were to beat San Antonio and then beats the Warriors and gets the eighth seed, are they still dog water? They got to beat the Spurs and they got to beat the Warriors to claim the eighth seed. I'm willing to put Skittles that Memphis is going to do that run. They're going to beat the Spurs.
That's
a prediction.
Go back up. Give me a second. I'm going to lay it on the table.
You feel confident that after the Lakers beat the Warriors, the Warriors
will beat the Grizzlies.
Right?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So we both predict that matchup will happen. You got the Warriors. I'll get the Grizzlies. Skittles. Just
100%.
Yes, 100%. No,
that's two bags I'm gonna get on this show. You guys are making this show too easy.
So the Warriors are dog water.
You said what?
Warriors are dog water.
They're playing like dog water. Yes, because of the injuries. They're playing like it, yes.
In the West with Stephen Curry by himself.
Here's the problem you're having right now is that when you say this team is performing like garbage, right? Your problem is that you go, so then the best player's garbage? That right there shows me that you don't understand basketball. Because if I'm saying the team is bad, you can't just reach for the best player. If I were to say the Lakers are garbage, are you going to reach and go, so Anthony Davis is bad? No, you got to look at the team top to bottom. John Morant is a good player. Yes. But when you start looking down, if you have Jonas Valanciunas as just an aging Jonas, who's still not that guy. You have Justice Winslow, who still doesn't understand how to play the game. That stuff matters. LeBron, that stuff matters. LeBron it matters. It does. Well, guess what? Guess what? You talking about they don't grow on trees? Guess what? These seedlings can't even plant themselves. They can't do nothing. They can't. Because you want to give them all the excuses in the world. They were, honestly, this whole year, they were one of, if not the most healthiest team in the league. They were blessed to not have any major injuries. And the dude still couldn't get in the play. They had to settle for the play. Couldn't get in the playoff. But they're so great. They're so phenomenal.
There's only a game behind the eighth seed.
Who, if you take Steph out of that team, that's not a playing team. That is a lottery team. That's not dog water. That's not dog water. We got to make a new word for them. That's a whole new phrase we got to make for
them. They're a lottery team. I agree.
That's a whole new phrase we got to make for them. So, and then,
I'm going to say it right. And I'll say this because I do want us to move to the next topic. You know, I defend Memphis as I walk out the door. 500 makes you an okay team. They're four games over that. That makes you an okay team at worst.
Comparing to Portland, comparing to Dallas, and then let's see how that energy continues.
But like I said,
doesn't matter because you are trying to make it seem like they're phenomenal. They're not.
Those are good teams.
They're not phenomenal.
Portland and Mavericks are good teams, right? Good teams. Where you say they're good teams?
Now they're dog water.
I like Dallas a little more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But okay is a step down from them. I'm not saying they're great, but they're an okay team. They're over 500.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. Every game, every single game, no, I'll piece you out. Every single game, we'll just get everyone
a seed. Look at the ninth seed in the East, 38 and 34. The Boston Celtics are the seventh seed.
That's not good either.
You guys are the seventh seed with a 36 and 36 record. They're better than you guys.
That's my point. We have a better record, and this year we have played like dog water. 110%. We have not played up to our expectations. We have underperformed. We have played horribly this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the players or the coach, but see, here's the difference. I can look in the mirror and I can say, yo, the Celtics, we're playing like dog water this year. We have not reached our expectations.
But you can't say that about a team that's above 500. You can't say that about a team that's above 500.
You guys
want to
hand out participation.
You can't say it about a team that's above 500, though.
Then you guys are saying that if a guy steps on the court, he deserves an award. I'm saying that's not true. You don't deserve to get an award just because you step on the court. Your performance determines whether or not you're good. And if you're playing poor and you're not living up to your expectations, you're going to get critiqued. And again, if you guys want to give everyone participation awards, go ahead.
I'll say this, 500 and above, okay team. Anyways, Saturday, guys, we had UFC 262, and it was a great one, guys. You know, we saw some great performances. Charles Oliveira, man, did he freaking, guys. This is just a punch for anybody just watching. This is the punch that just really, really did it. And yes, guys, we're going to bless you because we got some footage, of course, of the night. And it was a great one, guys. You know, UFC, like I said, never disappoints in their performances. And now the UFC has a new lightweight king in Charles Oliveira. You know, he came out there in the second round after getting he looked like dog water in our first round, guys. Let's be honest. He was getting beat up so bad, guys. We got that clip, too, because my man Pride comes through and shows us, look how bad this guy was getting beat up. This guy did not get whipped out. And I know, Pry, you were furious. You were saying, how is this guy furious?
Look, this right here is your best stop right here. Because the dude's not defending himself at all. He looked stunned. That last shot woke him up, and he was like, oh, I'm getting hit. Oh, no, I don't like this. And then he started moving. Yeah. But it I almost had an aneurysm, bro.
Nevertheless, you know, it was a great fight. You know, Tony Ferguson struggled in the co-main event, you know, taking a loss to Benil Dariush. And, you know, we all of us like Tony a lot, so we were very upset to see that one. But Pride, you know, Charles is the new king now, the lightweight division. Do you think that he's going to have a long run or a short run? What do you think?
Well, it gets determined based on who wins Dustin and Connor. Now, I think if Dustin wins, I think his title reign could be in jeopardy. I do believe that Dustin, especially because he's a phenomenal wrestler, I think he'd give him a run for his money. Connor, I think Connor will win that fight. And him fighting Charles, I just don't see Connor winning it, only because Charles is more likely going to go to the ground. In terms of the card, it made me laugh, right? Ironically enough, when I was watching that Tony fight, right, And I think it was the first round. I think he almost had a Darce choke on him. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's looking good. He's looking good. And I pre-typed in the chat, in our group chat. I pre-typed in it. And I pre-typed, let's effing go. I told y'all Tony would come back. I don't know what happened, but he let go. I then deleted the text, and I threw my phone across the room. Because at that point, I think it was the first round, I was like, that was his best chance. Round two came, and Benil just didn't care. He was like, look, man, I was nice in round one. I don't care. I'm taking this one whether you like it or not. Dominated him. JJ, you have it. Can you put up that heel hook for me, please? Because this heel hook, I was watching it, and Tony's screaming, and Benil is saying, yo, I heard a pop.
He did. Right?
And Tony gets up and walks to the stool. And
that's that Cucuy shit right there.
100%. For that last moment, we saw El Cucuy. The whole fight was Tony Ferguson. But for that split second, we saw
the nasty part.
100%. I will say this. Tony should consider just wrapping it up. I thought, like I said, if he did not win, he should have wrapped. Like, this just, at 37 years old, this was probably his last gasp. Really was. And the commentary team said something that, like, honestly, I never really thought of. When you spend so, like, especially early in your career, and you're just like a wild fighter, and you're just going out there, and you're just flinging it, and you have no fundamentals. When you get older and you need to rely on the fundamentals, which you do not have, that's when you're going to get exposed. And when I heard that, I took a step back and I was like, you know what? They have a solid point. Because this last few losses, there hasn't been fundamentals. It's more Tony like, oh, yeah, I'm going to knock you out. Oh, no, this is not working. What do I do? And like, and that's how it's been for him. So I feel bad for him. But like I said, I mean, if he wants the money, he's still a big name. So you can have him fight like ranked 10 to 5, 15 guys maybe. But again, in terms of Tony getting back up there, I don't think he's going to. If I'm him, I call it a career. I wrap it up because, you know, like, and they asked Dana in the post-fight press conference. They were like, hey, Dana, what's next for Tony? He was like, I don't know. And then when Dana has like four different versions of I don't know. There's the I don't know of the balls in your court. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm shocked. And then I don't know, which is the same I don't know he gave Tyron Woodley before he kicked him out. And that's the I don't know he gave him. It was one of those real sad I don't know. So what's going to happen with Tony is going to be crazy. And in terms of the main event, like I said, I thought they should have stopped him in the first round. And that's what I thought. But I will give Charles this, man. This kid went to the bench. He went to a stool, sat down. And it's almost as if he ignored his coach. He ignored his trainer. He ignored everybody. And he stood up and he goes, this is the first round now. And he was like, we're not going to the ground. Was like, we're going to the ground one time. And that is when one of us gets knocked out. Until then, we're standing. And this dude, he caught, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like the second, it was the first or second right hook he threw. And Chandler started stumbling back. And I was like, oh no. I was like, I got a little nervous. I sat up. I was like, oh no. And then he threw a knee. And Chandler felt it. And I was like, oh no. I was like, okay, ref, you can stop it. After that knee, he kind of hit him like a weird little side uppercut type deal he had going on. Hit him with that. And then Chandler started stumbling, like his back was on the fence. He started stumbling away. And I was like, okay, you can stop it. And then Charles started pouncing on him. And I was like, okay, you can stop it. I felt like it was like, if you guys ever watched The Simpsons, the meme when like there are all the kids like are on the playground. And he's crying. He starts crying, saying he's already dead. That was me. I'm like, yo, the dude's already out. The only reason he's standing right now is literally just because of like, pure instincts of, oh, my body's shutting down. I'm blacking out. I'm going to stand for as long as I possibly can before I fall. And, like, when he finally fell, he got a couple more hits in, and I was like, well, that's cool. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, well, he was pride, and he was talked about as the UFC's greatest import, and now we're going to let him get, like, mollywop for, like, 3 seconds. That's cool, whatever. It was crazy, bro. Like, Charles came out that second round, and he came out different. He really did. Like, he – whatever happened in that first round, literally forgot all about it. And he came in with the mentality in that second round is, look, man, we're scrapping. We're fighting point blank, period. It was crazy. So, yeah. And then that Burgos knockout, that was hilarious. I'd never seen that before. It was the first time I've seen a dude get hit and then, like eat it and then fall. Like, I've seen that with body shots. Like, yeah, we were talking about this. Usually with body shots, you take one deep breath and you feel it. And then you go down. I've never seen a dude get cracked in his jaw and then look at you and be like, I'm good. Oh, I'm not good. And then he fell back. So it was crazy, bro. And oh yeah, his temple. It was crazy. It was hilarious though. I don't know. I'll be honest though. I don't know how that got fight of the night. I don't know. I genuinely was not a fan of that fight. I thought it was a solid fight, but if Barbosa had done a generic knockout, no one would be talking about it. Because if you ask him about it, everyone's like, oh, bro, it's the knockout that everyone's talking about. And I'm like, yeah, it was a crazy knockout, but the fight in and of itself, it was a solid fight. Not to say it was a bad fight, but it's almost as if everyone was like, oh, my God, this is like the greatest thing ever. This is like Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner 2.0. I'm like, I'm not going that far, but it was interesting. But in terms of how long his reign is going to be, I'm curious to see who he's fighting next. Because if he's fighting Connor, I love Connor, but he's going to use his jiu-jitsu to overwhelm Connor. If it's against Dustin, that definitely is going to be a very interesting fight to watch for me.
Well, you made some interesting points, Bride. Obviously, it was a great, you know, fight for it was a great night for fights. Obviously, the Vera fight had me surprised, stunned, shocked. I'm like, what the hell? Because I wasn't expecting that from Charles Oliveira. He's him having the strength to, you know, straight up just pound Chandler out like that. Because when he hit him with that right hook that sent him flying back, I'm like, wait a minute, where's power coming from? And then he just kept on laying on him. And once I saw Chandler running, grabbing the fence, I'm like, yeah, it's over. It's a wrap. And then, you know, he landed a few shots and finished the fight. But, you know, that was just a surprise. I was expecting Chandler to go in there and continue to use his strength and wrestling to dominate the fight like he was doing in the first round. I don't know what happened in the second round. I really don't know. But congratulations to Charles Oliveira. The dude's been in the UFC for years, and he's built up a name for himself. He accumulated a pretty good winning streak to get in this position for this title fight. So, you know, hats off to him. I don't know how he survived that, honestly. Like, he's doing this on the floor and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, is that enough for the referee not to stop the fight? Whatever. But, you know, the Burgos fight, the Burgos and Barbosa fight, yo, that was crazy, Pride. The fact that he gets hit, it was kind of like a glitch in Grand Theft Auto where you're like running and you stop and then you're running again. It was a situation where he gets hit in the equilibrium and his equilibrium is completely off. He gets hit in his temple and he's just completely off. So that's why, you know, he was stumbling afterwards, but that was just crazy. The fact that Dana gave it fight of the night, I was like, hey, I mean, I said it wasn't top 10, but it was definitely a pretty good fight. The Chookagian fight, that was a wash. Chookagian, that girl, you know, they just keep on giving her these young girls, and she bangs. She's number two for a reason. But Tony Ferguson, my man, I say this. He didn't look as bad as he did in the last two fights where he got completely dominated and beat up. At least Darush didn't beat him up. And that's the only silver lining I give to Tony. I wouldn't say hang him up, Pride, because I know El Cucuy still got some fight in him, probably not in the UFC, but the man could definitely, you know, go out to Bellator, get a bag, go to the PFL like this dude did, the Wheaties cover boy, you know, how he Showtime just did, go to the PFL, collect $1 million, you know, just go somewhere else and bang, and just, you know, Tony Ferguson still has a bunch of He still has a bunch of talent left in him. It's probably done for it in the UFC because I feel like when he was at his peak, when Tony was at his peak in the UFC, I'm telling you, I'm saying he could have beaten Khabib at his peak. When he was on his highest of the highest, I felt like he could have gave it to Khabib. But he fell off, losses started to pile up. And just the way he was losing, guys, I think that really messed up his mental, messed up his whole demeanor. And ever since those two bad losses, Tony's never been the same. And I think Tony's better off going out with a Bellator and maybe making a name for himself out there and then riding off in the sunset. But nonetheless, the entire card, I give it like a B. The Chandler fight, the main event, was very exciting. So, you know, it was okay. It wasn't the best card, guys, but hey, it was a title fight nonetheless.
You know, I agree, Sander, and I'm actually going to give it a C because I think in any other year I might have given it a B, but I'm giving it a C just because let's be real. Dana White has thrown out some really good cards this whole year, and he's kind of just one up himself. So, like, he's setting the bar at a level for himself where, like, now, like, this, you know, we could call this kind of like a mediocre 262, honestly. You know, sure, we got a new lightweight champion and we needed one, so I'm happy that it got done. But we didn't have those superstar names, so I got to give it a C with maybe a C-plus upside. But, you know, nonetheless, like I said, UFC never disappoints. And Dana White, he never sleeps, pride. You know, he's always on top of everything. He makes sure that nothing gets away. You know, he makes sure he always gives the best show. You know, but before we go on to our next block, make sure you guys visit our friends at Rocky Hill Accountants with 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you have experienced professionals handling your financials because it's always better to have somebody that knows what they're doing what they should do for you because they're probably doing better than you anyways. But anyways, guys, moving on to the next topic. It was a very special weekend. You know, the Hall of Fame inductees were finally presented, and it was definitely an emotional time. You know, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan and the late Kobe Bryant highlighted the class. You know, Vanessa Bryant was there and she gave a very emotional, heartfelt speech, you know, in behalf of her husband. And, you know, the whole room, a pin could drop, you know, like, did you just see how much respect Kobe left his peers? And it just radiated throughout that whole room when his section came up. You know, the fact that Michael Jordan was up on stage with Vanessa, I think, was also very symbolic in itself. It just shows how even though Kobe was like his little mini-me, not to say, that he has shown him that much respect, and because nobody got that close to do it like him, Sander.
Man, it was a beautiful moment seeing, you know, for the first time, three MVPs being inducted in the same class. So it was great all around. You know, watching Kevin Garnett, I remember watching Kevin Garnett when I was a little kid in Minnesota. I was like, damn, who's that tall, lanky dude that's just so loud and looks so mean? You know, and I grew up love KG player, you know, and what he represented, toughness, hardship, you know, grittiness, grind. I love players like Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, old man, the fundamental Tim Duncan, dude. He's been in the playoffs. I remember there was a stat where he was in the playoffs every year of my life until like a 24 at one point. And I'm like, God damn, like he's been in the playoffs forever, dude. He's definitely an all-time great power forward for sure. He's one or two. You can't go wrong with either or, putting them either or. So, and then Vanessa Bryant, guys, watching Vanessa Bryant look lovely and beautiful, by the way, you know what I mean? And having Michael Jordan accompany her, that was just straight up. That was, you couldn't have asked for anything better than having Jordan by her side, you know, accepting the Hall of Fame induction with her. And she said lovely. She spoke beautifully about, you know, his accomplishments because she didn't want to make this like a funeral thing. You know, like they already had his funeral. They already talked. This wasn't about his death. This was about his accomplishments. Her talking about him proving the doubters wrong. And I know specific doubters, like by name, that were renamed nameless, that said things like Kobe will never be a Hall of Famer. Kobe is a ball hog. Kobe is probably one of the top three shooting guards in this time. And everybody criticized them for being a ball hog. So just proving the doubters time and time and time again, he's probably one of the few players that came close to eclipsing Michael Jordan in championships. Think about it. If he would have never lost to the Pistons, He would have never lost to the Celtics. That's two right there that would have added to his five. He would have ended with seven. So Bryant had just as much as a chance to pass Michael Jordan in championships than LeBron, than Tim Duncan, than a few other guys. So Kobe Bryant, well-deserved as a Hall of Famer. Everybody that was inducted, well-deserved. But the highlight of the class, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant, for sure. Kim Mulkey, I don't know. She said some comments during COVID, during the tournament, that had me like, yo, chill. But nonetheless, well-deserving. She's Hall of Fame. But, you know, like I said, guys, you know, having guys I grew up watching, Tim Duncan, KG, and Kobe Bryant, watching them when I was a little kid and then watching them as an adult being inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's a beautiful moments like this, especially when it's players that you grew up watching. So it was beautiful, JJ and Pride. I loved every moment of it. And rest in peace, Kobe and Gianna. You know, God bless y'all. It was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment.
So Kobe's not top three shooting guard. Let's just get that out the way. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm really not, but it's just baffling to me how everyone wants to all of a sudden be like, oh, Kobe was this mythological player. Like, no, listen, I understand he passed away. It was a very unfortunate circumstance. Wish it never have happened, but let's stop hyping him up. The whole Hall of Fame thing, I usually don't watch it. I usually don't, because I usually just wait for the clips, because let's be real. There's some people in the Hall of Fame, right? But we only show up to watch two or three. Now, me personally, I love Tim Duncan. I was here for Kevin Garnett. That's the only reason that this is the man I was here. I'm here for the guy who called Charlie Villanueva a cancer patient. I was here for the man who told Melo his girl, you know what, tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios. That's what I was here for. I was here for the dude. I can't remember who he said it to, but a player's mom had passed away. And on Mother's Day, he went up to him and said, Happy Mother's Day. That's the dude I was here for. I was here for, because look, as great as he was, this man was a bona fide savage. He literally did not care. And that's what kind of enamored me with him. When we first got him, I was like, okay, cool. And then I'm seeing this dude like on baby, like try to headbutt. He old as what? Old as dirt in Brooklyn. Man still trying to fight people. He out here saying Joakim Noah hair smell nice. And he's trying to play with it when they're shooting free throws. This man was literally, like me personally, he's the second greatest power forward of all time. That's just my opinion. He's the second. Tim Duncan is the greatest. And by the way, with Tim Duncan and what he was saying to Pop, that joke is crazy, because some people don't really understand. When Tim Duncan's dad died, when his pops passed away, he told Greg Popovich, hey, yo, you responsible for how my son turned out. And he put that responsibility on Pop. And Pop basically had to not only teach this kid basketball, but he had to teach this dude about life. That's why a lot of the stuff that Timmy does is because of Pop. That's why, like, people wonder, why is he so awkward? He's awkward because the dude who taught him was awkward. Greg Popovich is kind of awkward, and he's kind of brash. And Tim Duncan got some of that stuff. Now, he's not as brash as Pop. I think he kind of puts, like, a limit on him there. But, like, he definitely, like, you can tell that Pop definitely had a big impact on his life. Absolutely. With Vanessa Bryant saying, if I'm not mistaken, she said something about, I forgot exactly what she said, but she basically said something along the lines of, don't cry about Kobe not being here, but instead celebrate that he made it here. It was something like that. It was something that, it was low-key corny, but it was catchy. It was like one of those lines, you know what I mean? That it was like, it's you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know when you listen to a song, and it's like, you hear that one line of that song that's like, corny, and then you're in the shower and you end up repeating that line over and over and over and over because it's in your head. It was something like that, where MJ kind of just standing there in the background. It kind of was like, to me, MJ never really vibed with Kobe in the beginning, because he kind of was like, get away from me. And then Kobe was kind of like, nah, I'm not leaving you alone whether you like it or not. He was like, yeah, you know, I mean,
brother, bro.
And he's like, I'm going to be here regardless. If you don't like it, he's like, you have to beat me up every day and twice on Sunday. And come Monday, I'm going to punch you and be here. That's kind of the annoyance it was. And it kind of, like, MJ was like, it kind of caught on. it's kind of crazy because, like, if you were to go back in time and tell MJ, yo, you're going to be by this kid, by not his side, but by his wife's side in his Hall of Fame, he probably would laugh. So it's kind of crazy just like how Kobe kind of not only attached himself to MJ, but he finally, after a while, got MJ to attach himself to him in return. So it definitely was kind of crazy. It was a solid class, you know. There was Eddie Sutton, Kim Mulkey, Rudy Tomjanovich, I think was in there, Robert Stevens. There was an executive, Patrick Baum or Bonk, something like that. Bauman, yeah. He got in there too. This was a solid class, and congrats to all of them. But we all know when you come to the Hall of Fame, you're only here for two or three guys. You're here for those main dudes. And that's really what it was. Again, I low-key wish they inducted KG next year and Ray Allen didn't get inducted a few years back and he got inducted so we could have like a Celtics big three so we could just revel in their magnificence glory one last time. But, you know, we had to wait. Like I said, bro, KG low-key, he low-key goated, man, because like I said, I've never met a dude who will look at a bald dude and say you a cancer patient and actually try to scrap with you afterwards, bro. So 100%, bro. I mean, congratulations to all of them. But, you know, KG was the main event. Let's just stop playing games.
He really wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sander, I think you put it in a great way. You know, we grew up watching these guys, and now we actually saw them get into the Hall of Fame. And that, to me, was just the biggest gift of them all. Because, you know, at least the highlight guys, like we said, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan, all those guys were all great, phenomenal players. And they all deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, undisputedly, for sure. But it's Friday. I mean, this Friday. It's Monday. Sorry, I got my days mixed up, guys. It's Monday, so we got to catch up on our Friday picks, our Blazing predictions. Friday. We got to update on them because we were pretty good the last few weeks, but we weren't too sharp this week. Sander, you had the hot hand, and you see, now you're over here looking like, what's that movie with Sandra Bullock? Bird Eye? Birds? What was it?
Bird Box.
Bird Box. You're Bird Boxing right now. That's exactly what you're doing. You're Bird Boxing.
Yo, you corny.
Go ahead, Sanders. Let us know what happened for your prediction, man.
Well, Charles Oliveira straight up just messed it all up for me. And I had Chandler winning the fight, dominating in the third round, and he was on pace. That first round looked like he was about to do it. And then, bam, Charles Oliveira just surprises everybody, shocks the entire UFC world, and beats Michael Chandler in a way that we didn't think he would, knocking him out TKO style. Man, whatever, bro. Whatever. Whatever.
I was kind of right. Sort of. Like, you know, if we kind of ignore the second half, you know, the Lakers won out, right? But I don't know what was good. It was weird. The Nuggets didn't want to play. And then neither did the Clippers because they lost to the Thunder, which is weird, which is kind of funny because then Jared Dudley was like, oh, yeah, they're trying to duck us. I'm like, look, fam, bro. Only thing you need to duck is them donuts they throwing at you on the other side of the bed. Shut your mouth. I don't want to say I hate them, but I hate them. But, yeah, Portland came out, handled their business. I mean, that's fine. You know, congratulations to them. You know what I mean? They held it down, made sure that, yo, y'all can win three games this weekend. We holding it down and we winning. So, you know, hope Dame Lillard, you know, hope he misses his alarm. So that way he misses the first away game. You know what I mean? That way I can laugh at him. we all know, you know what I mean? I just low-key hope and pray that somehow, through some way, right, that the Lakers could play the Trailblazers, right? And I don't want LeBron to sweep him. No. I don't want LeBron to sweep him, right? I want LeBron to make him quit. I want LeBron to make him go home and not come back. I want him to demand a trade to the point where he gets out of the Western Conference. Let's send him to Toronto, Kawhi 2.0. Let's deport him. Okay? I hate him. I told y'all, if Dame accepts this one, I'm no longer his fan. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to be a man of my word. So Dame, you lost the fan, unfortunately.
Oh my God. You know
100%. I don't want to say I hate you, but you Jared Dudley to me now. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, I guess I was half right too because I did predict that the Milwaukee Bucks will beat the Miami Heat, and they did. But Giannis only gave me 15. He only gave me half of what I predicted. I wanted a 30 piece for him, but nonetheless, the Bucks beat the Heat 122-108. But the gift that keeps on giving happen, because now Milwaukee faces off against the Heat, Sander, in the first round, which is which the Heat did beat the Bucks in last year's semifinals. So I'm very excited to see how Giannis is going to approach that game, because I'm sure he remembers it. Don't worry, we will have a Skittles one on that one. Believe me, we're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys visit our website at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports, and check us out on Spotify at CMG Sports at Stir the Pot Sports. Will pop right up, and make sure you guys follow ours on Twitter and at Stir the Pot Sport 1, and our Twitch account at twitch.tv/ClovercrestMedia Group. Guys, it's Monday. I'm excited, like I said, always to be on this show, and I'm excited to see how this play-in tournament is going to play out, because it's going to be good. It's going to be a little, you know, complicated, but I think it's going to be entertaining overall.
No, it's not. Sure. No, it's not. Because we're watching the bottom of the barrel team. Like, look, I get it. You guys want to go ahead and you want to make excuses, but let me ask you a question. If the NFL had it, and it's the Texans, right? And it's gonna be the Texans, and they're playing Cincinnati. I'm telling you, you're not watching.
Right. You're literally making it look like it's like, Who is the dog? Like Cleveland versus freaking Orlando or something? That's not the case, okay? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, that's a conversation for another day. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Yeah.